blood today. Amen. John chapter number 5. John chapter 5. And again, I am thankful for that blood. And me and Brother Tim just talking right there. At the end of that, I want to know this, and you know this, as you study your Bible, that the cross was not plan B. That was the plan from the beginning. Amen. I've heard some folks say, well, they tried this and that and it failed, and then Jesus had to come. No. He is slain from the foundation of the world, according to the book of Revelation. Amen. And so I'm glad for that blood that cleanses from all sin today. John chapter 5, you're willing and able to stand this morning. I'll read several verses and then we're going to pray. Try to preach as the Lord directs our heart today. And I am glad you're here, but most of all, I'm glad the Lord's here. Amen. And looking for what He has for us in the Word of God. Want to try to help folk that are gathered here in the house of God today. John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. Bible said, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease that he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Then that man answered him, sir, have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for the good singing, how it has ministered our heart. I pray now for just a few minutes now. Lord, you touch me, Lord, physically and spiritually. I pray, Lord, give me the very words that I need to say. I prepare the ear, the mind, the heart of everyone here today. Lord, how we need receptive hearts for the Word of God. Lord, I pray for that soul that's lost in this place this morning. Oh, that the Holy Ghost be able to deal with their heart and woo them. Lord, that they'd repent and be saved. Help us now. Help every child of God and glorify yourself. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I've read a familiar passage the most here today, dealing with this miracle at the pool of Bethesda. Now, as you study your Bible, you know there is the interpretation of a text, but then there can be many applications to a portion of Scripture. Well, interpretation is simply this. This is a historical record of one of the miracles that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry. Now, this passage is attacked by many so-called religious scholars and Bible commentaries. Some do not believe that the events of the chapter about the treading of water happened. Well, I want to say this. I find no other place in Scripture to refute that this happened, and therefore I believe just what the Bible says. At a certain season, this angel would come down, treading the water, this multitude of lame and halt and others who were there, whoever first got in was made whole of whatsoever disease that they had. Now, as you look in that verse, matter of fact, in verse number 4, it tells us whosoever. Man, that meant anybody by the pool that was there, I could be made whole. And it said whatsoever disease, didn't matter what it was, they could get healed. But did you notice that verse does not say whensoever?
It didn't say whensoever. It was a certain season. It was a specific time that this event would take place. Can I say right there, and I'll move on to my message in a moment, that is the same way salvation is. Salvation is whosoever will. Anybody can get saved. You can be forgiven of whatsoever. Amen. Hey, I'm glad the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. But the problem is, it's not whensoever. You don't just pick and choose. I was talking with a pastor friend yesterday as me and him were preaching a funeral up in the mountains yesterday. I'm telling you, I'm getting more alarmed and burdened over church folk here at Gateway and across this country. People sit under sound Bible preaching and it's as though they're not moved. It is as though nothing is sinking into their heart. I'm telling you, friend, today, you better understand today. Day is what you have. Tomorrow may never come. And while God would speak to you, you must do business with Him. Oh, I believe here's the answer for why many, one of the many reasons why folk are not responding to preaching in our day. They are doped out of their minds. And you heard me right. I'm not talking about taking cocaine. I'm not talking about meth either. I'm talking about prescription drugs. They've got people so numb in their mind. They're taking so much medicine for psychotic reasons and other things that they feel like they're okay when they really are not okay. Amen. That wasn't in the outline, but here it is. Amen. That is what's happening. People are not hearing today. Amen. And the other crowd is distracted. They're not there listening. They are sitting there in body, but their mind is a million miles away. Ladies and gentlemen, as we're gathered here, each and every service, we need to come in with a purpose. God, speak to my heart. God, you've got something for me to hear. And help me to have a spiritual ear and to hear what you have to say to me today. Amen. I began looking at this text and man, they attack you. But yet, it's true. And at this same pool, Jesus performs a miracle. He raises this man up. Well, that's interpretation. It is an event that took place in the earthly ministry of Christ. But I'll look at two applications today and preach on this subject of the message from the pool. There is something God has for you and He has for me in this pool of Bethesda. There are lessons to be learned. There are things that should ring true in our heart. Can I say first of all today, there is the message to the sinner in this passage. What is that, preacher? It is the message of salvation. And as you think of the message of salvation, we learn three things that the Lord wants the sinner to know in this passage. Number one, that the Lord is interested in sinners. Hey, I'm glad that He is. Amen. We live in a world where a lot of folk care about nobody but theirself. But I'm glad to tell you, sinner, as you sit here today, the world may look you over. The world may not care. Hey, even church folk may not care. I'm glad I can tell you that the Lord is interested in you today. He is aware that you're lost. He wants to save you. And He's interested enough that He put you here today. And He brought the Word of God to you today. He is interested in your soul. Oh, I'm glad He's interested. I'm glad He included everybody. I can't preach that enough. Somebody said, preacher, you really preach too much on salvation. No, that is the number one message. And every time we're here, there are folk lost here. Every time. Amen. Hey, and I want to remind you this. We have visitors every service just about, especially on Sunday. And we don't know who's saved, who's lost, amen. And therefore, we need to let them know Jesus really cares. Amen. Let them know Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He's interested in you today. You say, but preacher, you don't know the shape I'm in. You don't know everything I've done. No, I do not, and neither do I have to know. But I can tell you this on the blessed word of God. He is interested in you today. Amen. For he came to this man in verse 38 who had an infirmity for 38 years. He came with an individual in mind. You understand, Jesus didn't happen by the pool of Bethesda. Amen. He's not just strolling and saying, oh, hey, boys, let's stop over yonder at Bethesda just a minute. No, sir. He had planned that. That was already in his heart. He was going to the pool of Bethesda. There's a man there, and he was interested in that man. Hey, sinner, he is interested in you. Whether anybody else is or not, the God of heaven's interested. Not only we see the Lord is interested in sinners, let me say secondly, the Savior invites sinners. Notice in verse 6, as he approaches this man, he looks at him and asks him a question. He asked him, wilt thou be made whole? Now, notice he didn't say, do you think I can make you whole? That ain't what he asked him. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't even say, I'm going to try to make you whole. Amen. But he asked him, wilt thou be made whole? Now, I'm going to help again right here today. I say some things a lot for our young people's sake. Our King James Bible's right. Nothing wrong with it. A lot of folk like to attack the these and thous and yees. And I don't know. Hey, the these and thous are important, for they are speaking to an individual. The word ye means he's talking to a large mass of people. Well, he asked this man as an individual, will thou be made whole? Do you know when I got saved, he was not asking my little brother about salvation that night. He asked me. He came to me. Wilt thou be made whole? Don't I died for you. I rose again for you. I want to save you, but it's up to you today. Amen. Hey, sinner, nobody can get saved for you. Amen. Salvation is personal. You must be born in. You as an individual. God deals with your heart as well as he's dealt with other hearts. Hey, we see the Savior in that. He still says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, no, he is interested. He invites, but the Savior immediately saves, according to verse 9. For when he told him to rise, take up his bed, verse 8, verse 9 says, and immediately the man was made whole. Hey, I'm glad salvation is instantly. Amen. Hey, I'm glad he can free you today. There is nothing too strong for the Lord. Amen. All the sin that has you bound up, all the sin that is wrecking your life, I'm glad to tell you today that God can set you free. When your heart turns to Christ towards salvation, you can be set free. Amen. Now I want to say this, and I'm going to move on and spend most of my message on my second point today. People are not getting saved and they make professions that never change because their heart has never turned to God. Now, it is one thing just to want to get out of a mess. It is another thing for your heart to repent and turn to Christ. Amen. You've got to get tired of your sin. That's it. You've got to be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Christ for salvation. If you'll do that, he'll save you today. Amen. Hey, I've been asked a million times probably in 31 years of preaching, preacher, when do you think a person really gets saved? I can tell you, when your heart turned. Whether that was while you was in that pew or whether it's down here in this altar, wherever your heart turned from sin and self and turned to Christ, that's the instant you got in. Amen. Hey, I'm glad he's interested and care about sinners. Well, we see the message to sinner, but let's spend a while on this. There's the message to the saints today. Well, preacher, what's that message? Look at verse 4 and verse 7. The Bible said in verse 4, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water." Now listen to this. "Whosoever then first after the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease it had." Then look at verse 7 as he talks to this man. Then that man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." What's the message for us? What's going on? What are we drawing from the text today? Listen to me. This is going to be a little strange, but hang with me and I'll explain it. He is saying to us, he's dealing with us, what to do when you're not first. You say, what do you mean? There are multitudes right here today praying for people lost in your family. There are people here today have multiple needs in this congregation. But in our life, as we pray and we serve God, we watch others see their family members get saved. We see others get their prayer answered and their needs financially, physically, whatever it is met while we still pray and tithe and serve God. And yet nothing is happening for us. Amen. There are people right here today, and I'm the pastor, and I'll just tell it like it is. There are people right here, you got a restless heart today. You think because something ain't happened lately, you're getting restless feet. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you something. Sometimes in this Christian life, you're going to pray a long time for some things. There are times you pray and instantly an answer comes, and boy, somebody will get saved and this gets answered in your eye. But there's other times you've got months and years ahead of you. Because I remind you, God is not a genie in a bottle. Amen. You're not going to rub the bottle and God jump out and grant you 3 wishes and life go merrily down the stream. That ain't life. That ain't real. But God, in His sovereignty and in His timing, will move on your behalf. Amen. Hey, that's where I am today. I'm praying. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to be faithful to church. I pray. I study my Bible. I tithe. I do all these things. But preacher, it's like nothing's happening. I feel like I'm barren in my heart. I feel like God's not hearing me when I pray. I feel like God is not aware who I am or what's going on. Preacher, what do I do in that case? The same thing this man did. There's 3 things you find in this text to help you. Can I say, first of all, when you're not first, when it doesn't seem like you're getting your prayers answered, when it seems like nothing's going in your family, preacher, what I do? Number one, stay by the pool. Amen. 38 years. Some of you, it's going to take you a while to catch on to all this. You may have to think on this a while. But you hear me, 38 years he's watched that water get troubled. And he's not got in the water yet. He done said in verse 7, somebody else gets in before he does. Amen. Everybody else is getting help. But you know what he did? He kept staying right there at that pool. He said, this is where help is getting found. And hey, others are getting help. I know sometime or another I'm going to get help. Amen. Amen. Hey, God ain't forgot you. God ain't mad at you. God ain't mistreating you. Hey, you just need to learn to just stay at the house of God where help can be found. Amen. While he's stopping off at somebody else's pew, do remember he's headed to your pew. Amen. Hey, no need to go running off. God help us in our day. We got too many who church hop. They're here a while and there a while. And I was talking with someone the other day, asked them about some of their meeting, how things were, and they said, well, you know how it is, preacher, there ain't much fellowship now. People have church hopped to everybody's church, and we can't get along now. And that's true. Hey, what we need to do, come whatever, however tough it is, however hard it is, we need to stay where God put us. Amen. Hey, life ain't easy. Church ain't easy. Hey, what'd you do? I'm going to stay by the pool God put me at. That's what you got to do. Hey, this is the place. Hey, everybody look up here. You are not going to get help sitting at the house. Do you hear your pastor this morning? You can forget it. It is not going to happen. Why is it when trouble comes, people, the first thing they do is lay out of church? The place you need the most is the place you will not go. Amen. Hey, let's just make you look in real good right here. All that time when you don't come, you ain't getting help at the house. You just might as well be honest. You sat there and you're miserable at the house. Amen. Hey, what we've got to stay in the house. Every time the doors are open, friend. And by the way, we need church more now than we've ever needed in our Christian life. There is so much going on out there. There's so much pressure being put on the people of God. Hey, the sodomite crowd, the transgender crowd, and the adulterers and fornicators and the drunkards and the dopers are running wild in this nation. And you need the house of God more now than you've ever needed it. Amen. Hey, what do you do when you ain't getting help? You just stay by the pool. Number two, keep this in mind. The Savior makes personal visits. He came to this man. I want you to get this in your heart. Here is the pool of Bethesda with five porches. The Bible very clearly tells us in verse 3, a great multitude. This thing's packed. There are people laying everywhere. And this man with the infirmity of 38 years, he's laying there as well. Well, get this. He's watched others get help. And he's watched that water get troubled. But on this day, the water come to him. Amen. For here he comes with his side. Can you imagine it? Pardon me, Mary. Excuse me, Zachariah. Isaiah, don't move. I'll be getting on by. What's he doing? He is going to that man. He didn't stop with anybody else that day. You realize that. He didn't heal nobody else at the pool. He healed that man. He made a personal visit. Hey, you really do mean something to God. You are not just one of the family as a member. You are not just one of the masses. Ladies and gentlemen, God knows you by your name. And he makes personal visits. Multitudes of time in my life have I had God help me. I've been where that man's at, watching others get help and seem like I would never get help. Amen. Hey, it don't matter if you're a preacher. There are dry times in your spiritual life. Hey, I get down to pray sometimes and I feel like it's falling off my lips and slamming on the floor. That's how I feel. That's how I think. And you're experiencing the same thing. But God is hearing us. Amen. And in his time, he's going to pay you a visit. Amen. He is going to help you as an individual today. Hey, that's why you need to be at the church. Why would you miss out on help? Amen. Hey, we find that the Lord makes a personal visit. And then let me say this, and here's what I want you to hang on to. The Savior still has power to help you. After he helped this man at the pool, you find out in other chapters, he still had power to help somebody else. Amen. Hey, when it comes to the power of God, oh, I've seen God do some great things. I have. Matter of fact, I preached this week in revival for Brother John Hill up in Thomasville. Y'all know him. You prayed for him. In the year of 2014, he spent the whole year in the hospital. They thought any moment John would die. I preached for him this week, and he's walking, and he jumped up and shouted, and he's a preaching and a going on. Hey, what, God did a mighty miracle in his life. Amen. But you know what? That didn't deplete God. Didn't deplete God at all. When God helped somebody else in this church and you saw something big take place, that didn't deplete God. Amen. It'd be like going down to the ocean and get you a little bucket, scoop it out, and just see how much of a difference you made. Amen. You ain't moved the ocean. It's still as full as it's always been. That's right. Hey, God still has all power. Whatever is a need in your life, hey, in God's timing, he is going to work with you and work through you. Amen. But don't you give up before the time. I believe I met people that quit before the answer came and they missed out. Amen. You just going to have to learn this life. Hey, I know a lot of these churches today, or what they're calling churches, man, they have jumped and they have gyrated and they have carried on the whole time they've been at their church today. And I've even met some talk, so, oh, we have such a big time, you really feel so. Just because you're feeling something don't mean God's at working. You hear me? Because a lot of what they're feeling ain't God. Amen. We can get music to get you all riled up and get you jumping up and down and carrying on, but that ain't going to help you. Amen. Hey, there are some times God makes everything get real slow in your life. There's time God gets everything real still in your life. Can I close with Elijah here? You remember when Elijah, right after he calls fire down on Mount Carmel, that in the very next chapter in 1 Kings 19, Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And he runs for his life. He sits down under a juniper tree and he is sitting there. He's sleeping. He's not doing anything. And the Lord comes by. And we find that he has an earthquake and he's got wind and he's got fire. And he lets Elijah know God wasn't in that earthquake. He wasn't in that fire. He wasn't in that wind. But a still, small voice is what got Elijah up from underneath that tree and got him and his mantle down there in that field where Elisha was a plowing. Hey, it was that still, small voice. Some of you are looking for something very big. You've read or you saw somebody, the way God answered for them. It was so spectacular. And that's what you're wanting. Well, I hate to tell you, that ain't how he's going to help you. I've learned to hear me today. When I got looking for an experience, it don't never come. But when I turned to trust him, did you get that? When I turned to trust him is when my answer came. Amen. Now, you may have a great experience when he answers you. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're looking just for that, you're going to miss out. You're going to get further down than you are right now. That's right. I preached enough meetings. Everybody look at me just a minute, and I'm about done. I'm just trying to help you a little bit. I have preached enough meetings where one night of a meeting, I preach, boy, God, be neck deep. Me get wound up preaching, God get to saving. Great things happen. And you know what I keep finding almost 99% of the time, Brother Tim, is that next night I just brace myself up for it, just to be honest. Because when I go back that next night, everybody there is talking, we want again what we had last night. That's right. You've done it. I've done it. But God did not intend to do the same thing again that night that he did the night before. Amen. What we've got to do is just come and say, God, you know what I need. Help me today. Whether it's just give me strength until this thing turns around or whether you answer it today, help me today, Lord. Because God wants to help you. Amen. Father, take the message and use it now for thy glory. I've tried my best to preach what you told me to preach. Lord, I'm so glad that you're aware of our needs. And Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And God, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I wonder if there's someone here, being honest with yourself. Preacher, I'm not saved. Remember me in prayer. Anybody like that today?